Help us to trust in your wisdom when we can't see the way ahead. When we walk in the dark valleys, give us courage to keep moving forward because you are walking with us. Calm our fears and strengthen our hearts as only you can do. Thank you for your daily blessings. You provide a place of hope, peace, and provision for us. Fill our lives with overflowing joy of the Holy Spirit and help us to live with gratitude for all the things you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, we're going to have a... Please join us in a time of worship.
Dear Lord, we come before you today, acknowledging that without you, we fall apart. We bow down to find our rest in your presence and ask that you guide our hearts. Where sin runs deep, we know your grace is more. We run to you as our one defense and our righteousness. Teach us to offer you our praise. And when temptation comes or we cannot stand on our own, be our hope, our stay, and our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for Lord, I need you.
Lord, I come,
I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh. Teach my soul to rise to you. When temptations come my way, when I cannot stand up for you, Jesus, you're my home and stay. When I cannot stand up for you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Jesus, almighty God, we do need you, Lord. We need you in every aspect of our lives because we haven't got the strength, Lord. You are our strength and our guidance, almighty God. Jesus. love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I'll be held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Let's sing that again.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Goodness is running.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. When my life lay down, I surrender all. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Your goodness.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
When my life lay down, I surrender all.
I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
All my life
you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
All my life you have been. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Almighty God, Almighty God.
Mm. you are, as you say, I am the great I am. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for just being who you are. And I love you, Lord. Thank you.
Unchangeable, all-powerful, incomparable, you alone are worthy for all of my praise, honor, and glory. Your love endures forever, and I am forever grateful for who you are. Thank you for making a way for me to know you personally. Nothing compares to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 that for now I walk this broken world. You walk it first, you know our pain, but you show hope can rise again from the grave. Abide with me, abide with me, bless me fall, and don't let go. Walk with me, and never leave, ever close, God, abide with me. There in the night, Gethsemane, love that will not ever let me go. Love that will not ever let me go. You never let me go. Love that will not ever let me go.
Abide with me.
Abide with me. Abide with me, don't let me fall, don't let me go, walk with me, and never leave, ever close, but abide with me.
Up in heaven, eternity.
Get ready for communion.
Well, let's continue in our worship as we share communion together. Slightly later on in the service, we're going to be looking at the most famous chapter in the whole of Scripture, which is Psalm 23. And in there, it talks a little bit about eating together. And eating together is something that we do as friends. When we gather together, when we meet with one another, we do it as friends together. So with that in mind, we come to this table. We gather, we share, we remember, and we give thanks. So I'd like us to begin just by preparing our hearts. Paul gives an important instruction in 1 Corinthians 11 when he says, let a person examine himself and then eat the bread and drink of the cup. So I invite us to examine our hearts, to ask ourselves, are we trusting in Christ alone this morning? Is there sin I need to confess? Is there bitterness or unforgiveness I need to surrender? Am I walking in obedience with Christ? The great news of the gospel is that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Take a quiet moment now to speak honestly with God. Can I invite anyone? Have we got people serving this morning? If you're serving this morning, could you invite you just to come forward as we continue? Again, in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, for I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. These words remind us that communion is not merely a tradition. It's an act of worship, remembrance, and proclamation. The bread reminds us that Jesus willingly gave up his body for us. He wasn't forced onto the cross. He chose it. And the cup reminds us that his blood, the blood that established a new covenant between God and his people. Our forgiveness was not free. It was costly. Jesus paid the debt that we could never pay ourselves. When we look at the cross, we see both the seriousness of our sin and the greatness of God's love. Communion reminds us that our hope is not in our goodness, our church attendance, or our efforts. Our hope rests completely in Christ and his finished work. So I invite everyone who knows and loves the Lord to join with me in eating the bread. We have gluten-free if you require that, and drinking the wine. What we will do is, as you receive the bread, I encourage you to pause, remember Jesus and his body broken for you, and eat when you are ready. So eat when you are ready and hold on to your cup and we will drink together. And so we come as friends, we come with gratitude, come with humility, we come with faith, and we remember our Saviour, blood of Christ, drink together. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your incredible love shown through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you for his body given for us and his blood shed so that our sins may be forgiven. May everything we do today bring glory to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Table filled with the best food. Can you hear the Father calling? There's a seat just for you, and at this table all is forgiven. Trade in your chains of bondage for crowns of freedom. All are welcome at the table. There is a place just for you. No condemnation at the table. There is a place just for you. Just for you. This is the table of new beginnings. These cups are full of love, and it's never ending. And at this table there are no orphans, just the loving Father and his sons and daughters. All are welcome. There is a place just for you. No condemnation at the table. There is a place just for you. Just for you. Leave your shame at the door. You don't need it anymore. Hold your head up high. This is the star.
Both the great battles and the hidden corners of our life. Strengthen our belief when the path feels uncertain, and teach us to trust that your promises are enough. Like Paul, help us walk in obedience, even when it's costly. And like David, give me integrity of the heart to follow you faithfully. Today, we ask you to guide us, steady us, and make us a witness of your covenant love. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Right, now we normally send the children out. I'm not sure if there is any. Have we got a group? Not sure. I kind of could stay in. That'd be wonderful. Right, so we're going to welcome your gang, youth. Well done. No. So let's pray for our youth, Lord. But we thank you for our youth. We thank you for the strength they are showing in your faith, Lord. And we thank you for those two baptisms showing that they are, their faith is growing stronger in you, Lord. So we bless everything they do with Matt, Lord, and the teachings that will touch their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Right, we're going to welcome Andrew back. You've already met him. Is that bloke that did the communion? So welcome back, Andrew. Right. Lord, we lift up Andrew to you, Lord. Yeah. We praise your name, but we thank you that we can have him here today, Lord, talking your word, giving the truth, the light and the truth, the way that Jesus walked. And we use him as a vessel and speak for him, Lord, the truth and the light. We thank you for you, Andrew, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. It's so good to be back amongst you and to see all your lovely faces. This morning, as I've said, we're going to be looking at the most well-known and most spoken chapter in all of Scripture, Psalm 23. And it's a psalm that probably most of us, if you can't recite it, you're probably pretty close to being able to say most of the words in it. But actually, that can be a problem, can't it? Because I think sometimes we become so familiar with words, we become so familiar with Scripture that we can just recite it, or we can just say it. Sometimes we need a bit of a fresh look at Scripture and a fresh challenge, because there is so much in this psalm that we can learn from. So my prayer is this morning, as we explore Psalm 23, we will feel challenged, we will find something fresh that God will speak to us as we hear from him. Let me read Psalm 23 now. If you've got Bibles, you're very welcome to open them up. I always find, even though it is going to come up on the screen, it's nice to hold a Bible sometimes, isn't it? To just follow it through. So if you've got that and you want to do that, then please do. Psalm 23, it reads like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to split this psalm into two parts. We've got the first part, which I'm titling The Shepherd, and the second part, which I'm going to title The Friend. So let's explore the shepherd, this obsessive devotion that David, as he writes this psalm, makes clear at this point. I was watching a program quite a while ago about strange collections. I can't remember the name of the program, but it did remind me that some people have some strange, unusual collections, and I wanted to share a couple of them with you this morning. The first strange collector is titled The Sick Bag Storer. Nick, it sounds a whole lot worse than it is. It's still a bit weird though, to be fair. Nick Vermeulen holds the Guinness World Record for his collection of over 6,290 airline sick bags. I just said, just in case, or why? Just so many questions, right? That's from more than 1,140 different airlines worldwide. My first question is, where is he storing all of these? But he's obviously got a space for them somewhere in his house. And the second one that I wanted to share with you, I think we've got a picture, because it's always good to have a bit of a picture, is the milk bottle collector. And this is recognised as the largest milk bottle collection in the UK, and also widely regarded as the largest in the world. And it belongs to a man called Steve Wheeler from Malvern, Worcestershire. Over the course of 40 years, he has amassed a collection of approximately 26,000 milk bottles. I'm assuming that picture is just a mere alleyway of his whole collection. It weighs more than 16 tons. I don't know who weighed them or how they worked that out. But yeah, 26,000 milk bottles. Another unusual obsession that someone has. I wonder if anyone here, I'm not actually asking for a response on this, has a slightly wild obsession. Maybe for coffee afterwards, we can discuss your crazy obsessions or collections that you might have. But I want to talk about someone else who had a wild obsession, and that was David. David had a couple of crazy obsessions, and the first one that I want to talk about is his obsession for sheep. Day after day, David would spend his time looking after and caring for the sheep. He would think about them. He would work out how he can protect them, look after them, defend them. He would know them all individually, make sure he had them all in one place. He'd be taking them from field to field, looking after these sheep. They were his world. They were his life. When the working day was done, David would sit down under a tree, and guess what? He would stop to rest so that he could think some more about his sheep. And he had to do this because this is what it took to be a good shepherd. That's what a good shepherd looks like. Someone who is just obsessive about his sheep. He needed to remain alert and focused and ready. And he needed to be willing to give up his life for his sheep. He protected them with everything that he had. And so, as David sings about his sheep, he is reminded about his other great obsession, God. And he draws in this psalm such a beautiful parallel. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, David understands what it takes to be a good shepherd. He knows what it's like, and the effort and the energy and the devotion that you've got to put in to be a good shepherd, how much you're willing to sacrifice and to give up for your sheep. And he recognizes how much God loves him. Here's the thing about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is not David writing a lovely song for us to learn from, although obviously we're doing that now, hopefully, and we can do that. David is writing a song, which is an intimate song between him and his God. That's where this comes from. This comes from a place of a man who is so passionately obsessed with God that he just wants to write some music to celebrate that and to recognize who God is. So yes, hopefully we can learn something from it, but we can also understand the perspective that David is coming from. But here's the thing. This picture of God as a shepherd and us as sheep sounds amazing, but it doesn't reflect well on us. You see, not only does David know what it takes to be a great shepherd, he also knows what sheep are like. And we are sheep. I hope we've got a video clip that we can show you. It's really short, but here, you might have seen this before. Here we go, let's watch this.
С этой стороны, против солнца.
You see, sheep aren't the brightest creatures. They're probably the most brainless, defenseless, useless creatures on the planet. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, right? They're lovely, aren't they? They're cute, they look quite cuddly. I don't think they're particularly cuddly. I don't think you'd want to cuddle one necessarily. But that, I mean, they look like clouds with feet, don't they? Or just four balls of candy floss with a head on top. You know, and you wonder how they ever survive in the wild without a shepherd, right? Because they've got no sense of, they seem to have no sense of understanding of, no survival techniques, no sense of knowledge of how to survive in the wild without a shepherd. And that is who David aligns himself with, a sheep. And that's us. Our starting point is a defenseless, I use the word brainless. Without God, without a shepherd, we're lost. Yeah, we're without hope. But then it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I don't know if you've ever done this with scripture. I love to do this, where you just take a line of scripture and then you just put emphasis in different parts. Have you ever done that? It's a brilliant, I really encourage you to do that. Here, let's just do it really, really quickly with this line. He, David starts off, he makes me lie down in green pastures. This is all about God. This is not about David. It's not about, I've already said, you know, the sheep themselves are pretty useless. This is all about God. He. And then I love the next bit. It says, he makes me. He makes me lie down. He doesn't say, oh, would you like to have a little lie down here? He makes us lie down. He knows exactly what we need. And as a loving father, he insists that we do. We don't have a choice in that. When God wants us to lie down, we lie down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In green pastures. I was in Scotland, my wife and I were in Scotland in May with my in-laws. And there was this moment where I was with my father-in-law and we were looking over a field and there were some sheep on the field. And it was a lush green meadow. And my father-in-law remarked on how content those sheep must be. They had everything they needed. They were lying down. You see, sheep are just going to eat if they can, right? But they were made to lie down. They had everything they needed. They were content. They were set. They were sorted. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You see, not only does he do that, but he leads us to those green pastures as well. God helps us find that green space that we need, the place where we need to be at that time, in that moment. God will lead us there. And then the psalm goes on. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And here is the crazy bit. God guides us along right paths. Okay, it says it clearly there. He guides me along the right paths. But sometimes those paths take us through the darkest valley. So God just to reflect on that a little bit, God guides us into the darkest valley. He guides us there because that is the right path for us. I don't know if any of you can think of a dark valley you've been down in life. A time when you really struggled, a time when it's been really difficult for you and tough. But I can tell you something, pretty much everyone that I've been down, every time I've been down a dark valley, I've assumed I took a wrong turn. I've assumed I must have gone the wrong way. I must have walked away a little bit from God's plan for my life at this point. And do you know what I start doing? I start looking for exits when I'm in a dark valley. How can I get out of this quick? Because this is horrible and I don't want to be here. How can I escape this, the challenge and the difficulty and the dark place that I'm in right now? But what if that was the path God had for you anyway? What if that dark valley is exactly where God wants you to be? Here's maybe some better questions or thoughts that we could have or we could ask in the dark valley. Rather than asking why questions, this is a time for asking what questions. God, what is my purpose here? What will you have me do while I'm here in this dark place, in this difficult challenge, in the hardship that I'm facing right now? What are you teaching me, God? I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God faithfully leads us out and leads us through that dark place every time. If you feel like you're in a dark place now, please be assured, God is faithful and he will bring you through it. There will be challenges, but there's challenges there that God has for you. That's why he's led you that way. You know, my experience also is that in the dark place, God is closer than you think. He's closer to you than you think. And the reason why you can't see often is because you're scared of the dark. And I get it. And I want to encourage you to open your eyes, be brave, and walk through that dark place with God, alongside God, as he carries us. The second half of this psalm, I've titled The Friend, and I want to share with you a little bit of a story. I work within the special educational needs department at my school, and we have this girl who I am going to call Chloe. And she requires a huge amount of support and a lot of care, just in terms of keeping her safe. We need to have eyes on her the whole time. And if she goes missing or disappears, she wouldn't have a clue how to get back or where to get where she needs to go. So we've got this really careful structure around Chloe. And one day she disappeared. She just went missing. It was all hands on deck. We've got to find her. We need to know where she is to make sure she's safe. Anyway, it appeared as after about 10 minutes probably of looking, she was behind the science classrooms doing some weeding, because obviously that's the most important thing to do, right? And she was quite disappointed to know that the caretaker had not done his job and was obviously lazy. So we found him. Actually, the two people that found him were me and the head teacher. Now, we've actually got co-heads, but the male head teacher, is quite a stern's probably a harsh word to use for him, but he's a proper head teacher, I would say. I don't imagine what a proper head teacher's like, right? He's a lovely man. But there was the two of us with Chloe, and we found her, and we had this plan, right, to take her back to my room, because that's where she stays and spends most of the time. And we managed to convince her to go, but the only way we could do it was that Chloe said, well, I need to link arms with you both. So I have this picture, it's going to remain with me forever, of us walking back to my room, and Mr. Moss, the head teacher, linked arms on one side, me on the other side, and I just looked across to Chloe, and she had a little cheeky grin on her face and a skip in her step as she wandered off back to her room, because she knew she was safe. It's like the most unlikely family picture you could possibly imagine right there in that scenario. But it was actually a perfect family picture as well, because we were caring for one another, we were loving one another, and we were supporting one another. This second half of this psalm is about a recognition of God, not just as a shepherd, but also as a friend. And I wanna unpack that a little bit, because in Hebrew culture, when someone prepares a meal, when people gather together to have a meal, that is a sign of true and deep friendship. I mean, I guess that's somewhat similar to here for us, but it's everything. It's everything in Hebrew culture. It's a recognition of a close, intimate friendship and relationship that you have. It's a sign of community and trust and connection that you are building. And that's the perspective that David's coming from when he says those words, you prepare a table before me. You prepare a table before me because we are friends. And we have that close connection. In fact, you could go as far as calling it a covenant, a bond that you share together. To give a couple of biblical examples, Abraham and the three visitors. It might be a story that you're not familiar with, but Abraham and his wife, they'd already received a promise that they were going to be, he was going to be the father of many generations, but his wife was barren, and these three visitors appear. And the first thing that Abraham wants to do is have a meal with them. Get them together. Let's sit down. Let's eat together and share with one another. The visitors then reveal that Sarah will have a son. There's that sense of bond together. There's that sense of connection that they've got with one another. And then possibly the most important and significant meal that we've just been reminded of earlier this morning is the Last Supper. That close meal that Jesus shares with his disciples. A meal with friends. So David is aligning God not just as a shepherd, but also as a friend. Someone that he can share a meal with. Not only that, God prepares the table for him. In front of us and in front of our enemies. In open, in public, for all to see. God is not just proud of you. He wants to celebrate you. Right there in the midst of the battle. And the challenge, God declares, this is my friend. We eat together. So just like my friend Chloe at school, I want to encourage you, when you walk through the darkest valley, don't just walk through the darkest valley, skip. Have a little smile and grin on your face, because you've got your friend arm in arm right next to you. Surely your goodness will follow me all the days of my life. You see, the Lord is obsessed with you. And I don't use that word lightly. I mean obsessed with you. It is an obsession like David and his sheep. That's the parallel that he's drawing. It says that he is chasing after you. The word follow is actually a really poor translation, because the Hebrew word is a word called rodaf, which translates more intensely to chase after you, or what I like, hunt down. That word means to hunt down, not just to follow. It's not a passive, oh, where are you? There you are, I'm following you. God is hunting us down. That's what he's doing. That to me is obsessive. That to me, in a good way, right? That is, God is chasing after us. Some of you might have watched a relatively important football match last night. Others probably went to sleep because it wasn't the most exciting thing. But that's what footballers do. You know, when they've not got the ball, I'm not going to get into great detail about it, but when you've not got the ball, what do? You hunt down the opposition. You chase them down and you become laser focused and you look for them and you go after them. And that is the same image of as what the Father has for us. He hunts us down. He hunts us down with goodness and with mercy. And I just want to end with this. The last line says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not just an eternal perspective, by the way. That is a right now and for the future thing, right? So we can dwell in the house of the Lord now. We don't have to wait till for eternity, although that's going to be amazing. And so with that, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you find rest in his presence, knowing he is with you in the losses and the longings? And secondly, do you trust in his sovereign arm of mercy as you believe he is coming again? You see, to dwell in the house of the Lord is to recognize who he is and to recognize that actually we have a God who's for us and a God who wants to spend eternity with us. What a great place to be in. That safe, content, understanding and knowledge that we are with him. And to be in his house for eternity, I want to read the words of the author, Milton Vincent. He says, hope of eternity with Christ in heaven also enables my heart to thrive during the most difficult and lengthy of trials here on earth. When looking at the sheer weight of unseen glories to come, my troubles seem light in comparison. And when looking at the staggering length of eternity, my troubles seem fleeting in comparison. It's only against the backdrop of a glorious eternity that my circumstances can be seen in such a manner. So I want to encourage you to smile today, to hold that joy in your heart, no matter what challenges come your way. When you walk through the darkest valley, or whether you're on the field, in the grass, and you're being forced to lie down in the meadow, smile. Because we have a God who has us in his heart for all of eternity. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you so much that you are our shepherd. And with you, we lack nothing. And I thank you that you take us through the darkest valley. Although that's hard and challenging and difficult, Lord, may we in those moments trust you fully. Smile as we walk alongside you. And Lord, may we have our perspective right as we dwell in your house for all eternity. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
We invite the band up now. I think we're going to do it on the screen. So I'll hand over to Mark.
Right, thank you, Andrew. That was wonderful. Right, so we're going to sing Andrew's choice of song, which is Psalm 23 again by Phil Wickham. And we're going to sing all the words that Andrew has been talking about. So stand if you can and join us.
Thank you. my shepherd, there's nothing I need. You lead me to the safest places. You lead me to the safest places. To walk in the meadow and lie by the stream. You meet me in the quiet places. You meet me in the quiet places. Your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I'll dwell in your house for eternity. I'll be there by your side. I'll be there by your side. Though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I don't have to fear no evil, for I know that you are with me. With oil of blessing to cover my head, you fill me to overflowing. My cup is overflowing.
And your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I'm dwelling in your house for eternity.
Shepherd of my soul, you lead me in the right direction, my comfort and my protection. You're the shepherd of my soul.
Thank you. And I'm just going to reiterate some of the words that Andrew's been talking about. Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. You provide everything we need and lead us in rest and your peace and restore our weary souls. Guide our choices so that we can honour your name. When we walk through the dark or frightening times, remind us that we are not alone. Protect us. For those who wish to harm us, and let your blessings, goodness, and grace overflow in our lives. Amen. 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 All right, so.